This is LBC, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060 973. Tweet at LBC. Text 84850. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien on LBC.
3 minutes after 12 is the time, and Mystery Hour, for one day only, takes an unexpected direction this morning as we mould it with one of the greatest political scandals of our time and marry it to Cash for Questions. If you want to ask a question on Mystery Hour today, then the rule is you have to pledge a donation to Global's Make Some Noise, which, as you've no doubt picked up already today, is sweeping the building, indeed the country, as LBC joins all our sister stations around the UK to unite behind this incredibly worthy cause. Global's Make Some Noise, changing young lives. Young lives like this one.
Hi, I'm Layla. I'm 20 years old and I've been diagnosed with cancer. Normally, you're just sitting in hospital, living with the effects of chemotherapy, and that's just it. That's your life.
So that's the rule. You've got 45 minutes until the auction for that holiday in Washington, D.C. closes. Is it bad of me to read this out? I'm just going to check with the producer. Is it bad to read this one out, Michael? Or not? Shall I read it out? This is off Kevin. He says, would you pack it in, James, with the auction? I'm the one with the winning bid at the moment. Please stop bigging it up. Sorry, Kevin. I presume that all emails submitted to the programme are intended to be read out live on air, so there's your opportunity there. Kevin's the one who's put in £2,150. So if you want to ruin his day, pile in there now at lbc.co.uk and up that ante by £50 or so. Now, listen, just a small donation is more than enough, or as much as you like. Again, another email that's come in, and I wouldn't mention this normally, but he's made absolutely no request for publicity for this, so I'm going to give him some, because he's my local estate agent. Christian Harper over at Harper Finn Estate Agents in Chiswick has just pledged £500 without even asking a question on Mystery Hour. So, I mean, that's fantastic, mate, and we're really grateful to you, and we will indeed be in contact so you can arrange that donation. First, though, the way it works is this. If you would like to contribute a question to Mystery Hour today, then you just need to make a donation to Global's Make Some Noise. I'll ask you how much, and as little or as much as you like. If we say £5 as the lower level, because that's what you can donate that by a text anyway to 70070 if you just text the word noise there. So take that as the entry level, and we're not, you know, I'm not asking for you to break the bank or anything like that, just to put your hand in your pocket and help me marry Cash for Questions to Mystery Hour. 5 minutes after 12, it's rather arrogant of me to presume that you know what Mystery Hour is. This is your weekly opportunity to get an answer to any question you want, however mad it may be, however serious it may seem. We veer weekly from the very heady heights of scientific theory right through to the truly absurd and the frankly ludicrous. But you never know quite what's going to happen next. All you do know is that if you dial 0345 6060 973 right now, you will get through and you will have a chance to get your question on the board, in return for a little cash, of course, for questions. If you hear somebody else ask a question to which you do know the answer, the number remains the same. 0345 6060 973 is the number that you need if you know an answer. And in return for a correct answer, you will receive a definitive Mystery Hour round of applause once we've established that your answer is correct and your qualifications are sound. We don't like repetition, so if you ask a question that we've dealt with relatively recently, then We will politely invite you to come back next week with a better one. And we don't like, what's the other thing we don't like? Dullness. We don't like dullness. If your question is dull, if it involves something that probably only you will be interested in the answer to, then we'll do our best to send you on your way with a friendly word. But obviously the switchboard usually gets so busy that tempers can get a little bit frayed. So forgive us if the invitation to sling your hook isn't quite as polite as it might be. 7 minutes after 12. And I have to tell you now, I hope this isn't all because you're a bunch of tightwads, but there's more gaps on the switchboard at the moment than I've ever seen at 7 minutes after 12 on a Thursday before. So if you have tried and failed to get through to Mystery Hour in previous years, weeks, months, today is probably the best chance you've had in 2014. Remember, though, you will have to make a pledge to make some noise. I said to the boss when we came up with this idea, I said, of course. We take more phone calls in the course of this hour than we do in the rest of the week put together on LBC. I mean, it is absolutely unbelievable. And I said, are you sure they'll still ring in if we're introducing the cash for questions element? He said, well, look, if Global's Make Some Noise has been properly explained to people, then nobody will balk at the prospect of spending a few quid in order to get their question on the Mystery Hour board. And I am banking on you not to let me down on this, all right? 0345 6060 973 is the number to call if you want to get your question on the board, and then sit tight in order to, of course, find out whether or not you can answer any of the questions submitted by anybody else. And I'm not going to stop until I've got every phone line flashing, because otherwise I'm going to be embarrassed. Embarrassed to have by far the busiest switchboard in the radio phoning business in this country, probably in the English-speaking world. And if it turns out that your enthusiasm for Mystery Hour is in any way diluted or compromised by the insistence that you put your hand in your pocket for Global's Make Some Noise, then I might in subsequent years abolish the whole thing. This could be the final Mystery Hour. If your generosity does not measure up to my expectations and predictions, you can wave goodbye to Mystery Hour for the rest of your miserable lives. I haven't quite got the hang of this charity thing, have I? It's supposed to be carrots, not sticks. I should take a leaf out of Smashy and Nicey's book when it comes to this sort of thing. 8 minutes after 12, 0345 6060 973 is the number that you need. And we'll kick off in King's Langley with Andrew. Andrew, first of all, business is business. Yep. How much would you like to pledge to make some noise?
£5.
Good man. And what is your question?
My question, James, is this. Certain programmes of a controversial nature can't be shown until after a certain time in the evening. They call this the watershed.
They do.
And I find it a rather bizarre name. Where on earth does it come from? And what's it got to do with the programme?
Why is the watershed called a watershed?
Yeah.
Because it clearly has nothing to do with water. Are you sure you can't work that out for yourself?
No, and I bet you can't.
Well, I bet I can.
Oh, I never go.
Well, the watershed, it's obviously the level at which water endangers a craft.
Like a pencil line.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling it.
Nor am I. What are you feeling?
You're just trying to impress your colleagues and getting an answer right again.
You can't impress this lot. Seriously, after all the years of answers they've witnessed me provide, straight out of the ether, plucked off the top of my head, they're beyond impressing. But thank you, Andrew, and thank you for the £5 to Global's Make Some Noise. Someone explain what watershed is. I've got a brilliant bit of trivia about the word threshold, but sadly that's not what Andrew asked about. A little clue for you there. If you want to ring in the course of the hour with a question about threshold, I'll be able to answer it. It's really interesting as well. Michael Baker is in Chiswick. Michael Baker, how much would you like to pledge to make some noise?
£20.
Good man. Fantastic. And what is your question, Michael?
Hi, James.
Hello.
I was working outside in the countryside last week. And
yes.
I got up really early one morning for a kind of a jog, walk, kind of feeling healthy kind of thing.
Yes.
And it was really dewy and lovely, and I saw this spider's web go from one tree to another tree, and it was quite a long way away, and I stood there looking at it and took a picture of it. And I just wondered how it got the initial string from one tree to the other tree without kind of going down the trunk, along the floor, and up the other tree. I mean, does it lasso it, or what does it do with it?
Do you know, that is the strangest question. Because I think we've done this a couple of times, and yet I can never remember what the answer is. Because it, whatever the answer is, it still defies understanding when you look at it. It's still, I mean, the physics is still strange. So how can it get from one side to the other of quite a wide expanse?
Yeah.
At height, doesn't it?
Yes, at height, yeah.
I think, hang on. No, that's not going to work. All right, you're on. Spider's webs and watersheds. Thank you, Michael, and thank you for the £20 donation as well to Global's Make Some Noise. You are listening to Mystery Hour with me, James O'Brien, on LBC. Michael wants to know about spider's webs. We've done that. I just can't remember the answer. And we want to know why a watershed is called a watershed. But it has to be definitive. No room for speculation. Let's go to Chris, who's in Streatham. Chris, first of all, your pledge, please.
£10, sir.
Good man, Chris. Thank you very much indeed. And what is your question? Or indeed, is it... Oh, no, you don't have to pay for an answer, do you? So what is your question?
Well, my question is, I regularly have runny honey on my warm porridge in the evenings.
Yes.
And when I'm using my honey up, by the time I get to the end, almost to the end of the jar, the honey starts to solidify.
Yes.
Why is that?
What do you mean, why is it?
Why does it? Because it's runny honey. It's not set honey.
Yeah, but it's still honey.
But when you get to the bottom of it, it starts to.
Where do you keep it?
Just it kept in a jar with a lid on it in the cupboard like it normally is.
Don't keep it in the fridge.
Pardon?
You don't keep it in the fridge.
No.
Well, like any other suspension, Chris, what is happening here is unless you regularly shake your honey, then at the bottom, the heavier honey particles will have sunk to the bottom of the honey, and the lighter honey particles will be floating around at the top, and they will be, by definition, runnier. So you squeeze out the runniest bits first. You weigh your way down a league table of runniness until you get to the very bottom of the jar, where you've got the least runny bits of honey, unless, of course, you shake it or mix it or agitate it or store it upside down on a regular basis. You will inevitably end up with the heaviest bits of honey at the bottom of the jar. Ergo, it solidifies. Ergo, your question is answered.
But why doesn't it happen when the jars say, like, half full, when it's, like, a quarter full?
Ratios.
That's when... Ratios?
Ratios, you see. It's diluted. It's diluted by the runnier honey until the point at which it starts solidifying, at which point the dilution quotient is diluted itself to a degree where the honey solidifies.
James, you're a clever man.
I know, man. Are you going to take that?
I will, yes.
You got that for a tenner as well. That's the bargain of the day. Do you?
I
know you're in Streatham, but if you're interested, there's a new Poundland in Chiswick that's knocking out some perfectly palatable honey at £1 a pot. Round of applause for me. Thank you, Chris. Take care, mate. It's getting a bit weird. This very Chiswick flavour to mystery hour this morning. John's there as well. John, first of all, what is your pledge for Global's Make Some Noise?
£25.
Oh, good man. Thank you very much, John. And your question, please.
If I have an open bottle of champagne...
Oh, you just... Do you have any idea how much jip I get for being a Chiswick-dwelling champagne socialist,
well,
John?
Will you be able to answer this question?
Come on, then.
If I've got an open bottle of champagne, which I haven't finished...
Yes.
I want to keep it fizzy till the next day...
Yes.
If I put a fork handle down in the neck...
Yes.
It keeps the bubbles in.
It does work.
Why is that?
It's a very good question. Frankly, I'm amazed you can't just knock on the door of anyone in Chiswick and ask for an answer to that question,
well,
given the amount of champagne that we all guzzle on a regular basis. But
so
I don't know...
It works for Prosecco as well. and it works for that cheap brand that you can buy, in the shops that we can't mention on air.
You can if you want, but I don't know what you're thinking of. Pomaine, is it?
Aldi.
But that's not a cheap brand. That's perfectly good champagne. If it says champagne on the label, as you well know, it's come from the right part of the world to merit the inclusion of that name. John, that's a lovely question. Why does the old fork in the neck of the bottle work on a champagne fizz factor? 0345 6060973. Remember, as I tell you that number... You get a choice when you ring it, to either come through to the studio, and therefore hopefully speak to me, or to go through to the telethon. It's the same number, 0345 6060973. And if you do go through there, if you come through and press 1 when you get to that option menu, Julia Hartley Brewer and Ian Dale are currently manning those phones and taking your donations. So if you're lucky or unlucky, depending on your point of view, you might get one of them if you dial in now to make a donation to Global's Make Some Noise. The number is the same throughout the day, 0345 6060973. Mystery Hour continues with me, James O'Brien, after this.
With James O'Brien on LBC.
20 minutes after 12, and there is a broadcasting legend in the studio, and Alistair Stewart's here as well. We'll be talking to him.
Is that Nigel Farage? Surely not.
Behave. We'll be talking to him in just a moment, because as you know, here at LBC today, for the first time, we're joining together with all of Global's other radio stations, including Classic FM and Capital, to unite behind one noble cause. Global's Make Some Noise. We're raising money to change young lives which have been affected by things like illness, like disability, and like bereavement. And we'd like you to join us too, so that you can help us help people like Sadie.
Global's Make Some Noise to change young lives.
Hello, I'm Sadie France. I'm 23 and I'm from South East London. I first found out I had cancer in September 2013. I was 22 at the time, and I was told I had 1, maybe 2 years to live. But a year later, I'm still here. I'm currently stopped chemotherapy. I've had chemotherapy for a full year, every week for a year, but it's unfortunately not working for me anymore. So now I'm going to go on some trial drugs, and hopefully they will work for me. Being told you have cancer is like every bad emotion all into one. So like sad, angry, confused, everything. You have so many questions. But I think the worst thing for me was seeing my family all just, like, break down, like, crying, like, my dad crying and my brother crying and my husband crying. That's not... You don't normally see, like, men cry, so that was really, really the most difficult thing for me. Having cancer is, like, all-consuming, like, hospitals, chemo, being sick, losing your hair, having, like, needles stuck in you, blood tests, and... Teams Unite take all that horrible side away. You don't have to think anything medical. They create days and you have so much fun and you get to meet other people, other young people in the same position as you who understand what you're going through. I can't describe to people how important it is unless you're in this position, but you realise how important these charities are, and they're invaluable. Like, I can't, there's no word to describe at all.
Make some noise. This is LBC.
22 after 12. I'm going to tell you in a minute how you can make a difference to help people like Sadie. But before I do that, you just heard there a young woman with terminal cancer expressing more concern about how it affected her loved ones and her family than she did about how it affected her. So when I tell you that she emailed, without knowing that we'd be playing that out, she emailed that moment by coincidence, not to do anything about herself, but actually to say thank you to you. I am Sadie James. I came into LBC last week. I remember, you silly sausage. My story is being broadcast on your station. Please, she writes, today, will you thank all your listeners as they really are making a difference by donating? Last night, my mum Julia and I were put up in a lovely hotel by Teens Unite so that we could go to the Shard this morning to watch the Capital Radio fundraising antics. I think we threw a presenter out the window. I hope that doesn't catch on. I was thrilled, but my mum would have preferred... Oh, I should have read this through in advance. My mum would have preferred to be with you, as she calls you her guilty pleasure. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to all at Global Radio. Remember, if you want to donate yourself £5, just text the word noise to 70070. 100% of it goes to Global's Make Some Noise. If you're under 16, get the bill payer's permission. And remember that Vodafone's Just Text Giving will match every £5. That's the word noise to 70070. Are there any fruitier tones on the British airwaves than the ones that you just heard adorning this broadcast? Alistair Stewart is here, for which we're very grateful. Thank you for your involvement today. I guess the question I want to ask you is why, as someone who I know is involved in a lot of charities, and in the right way as well, modestly and quietly, you must have to say no to a lot of requests. Why did you say yes to this one?
You just heard her on the radio, didn't you, his kids? We are very, very lucky. We're very lucky indeed to have four kids who have their occasional hiccups, and don't we all? But in the main, thank God, they're in good shape. One of the charities that I know you're particularly helpful towards is Kids Company, Camilla Batman-Gellish, who's a personal friend, and I think the work that they do is awesome. But when it's kids, I tend to say yes with great honour and great pride.
And it is, I mean... The remarkable thing about Make Some Noise is the sheer number of charities, all associated with children, all helping children, that all the money raised will go towards helping. We're not as bad as we sometimes think, are we, as a species? When days like this come along, you realise there is quite a lot of compassion, there is quite a lot of care and concern among us. It's just sometimes hard to see it on a normal day.
I think that's absolutely right, and I think it's dead easy as well to make very silly value judgments. I started my day today for Crisis, the homeless charity, and I first got involved with that about 20 years ago as a result of a contact by a chap called Robert Alexander, who was the chairman of the NatWest Bank. How things have changed. He was a very good man, and we did good work, and Crisis is still going strong. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Up and down the country, there are good folk doing good stuff.
And today's a lovely way to remind ourselves of that. Are you doing a normal shift as well today, Alistair, or are you...
I am doing the evening news at 6:30.
So you really have given us the tough end of your day, and we're very grateful to you for that.
It's entirely my pleasure.
Well, thank you very much.
Great to see you.
Alistair Stewart, one of the good guys, and also, for what it's worth, now that he's left the building, one of the best, I believe. It's 26 minutes after 12. You're listening to Mystery Hour with me, James O'Brien, on LBC, trying to find out why a watershed... Actually, let's ask him. Alistair, do you know why a watershed is called a watershed?
No.
Thank you very much. That went well. We're also trying to find out why the old fork in the neck of the champagne bottle works. And there's another question on the board as well. There may be a steward's inquiry on my answer to the honey question, but frankly not if I can help it. Nick is in Redhill. Nick, question... Well, first of all, how much would you like to pledge to Global's Make Some Noise?
Happy for the tenor in, James.
Good man. Thank you, Nick. We appreciate that. What's your question?
Quite a simple one. Why do people applaud to show their appreciation of something?
As opposed to...
Well, as opposed to shaking their heads or not doing anything.
It has to be audible. It has to be audible, doesn't it?
Well, you could slap your thighs.
You could slap... Or you could just cheer or whistle or stomp.
You could.
I wonder if there are cultures where, you know that old chestnut about parts of the world where shaking your head means yes and nodding means no. I wonder if there are cultures where applauding is a sign of real rudeness.
Could be. You could shake your jewellery as well.
Well, you could. I don't wear any. Nate, the question's on the board, and thank you very much indeed for the tenor. Let's start answering some of these questions, I think. Professor Hall is in Moscow this week, but that hasn't stopped him from ringing Mystery Hour. The professor of the Public Understanding of Science at the University of Brighton is in Moscow. So we're doubly touched that you've phoned us from the frozen wastes. What have you got for us?
James, the spoon in the bottle of champagne or sparkling wine. I hate to burst your bubble. You see what I did there?
No, it just goes brilliant.
Sorry. It is brilliant. It's a myth. If you put a bottle in the fridge without a spoon and a bottle with a spoon, they will be equally fizzy the day after. The solubility of carbon dioxide in cold water is a constant, and it's just a myth that's grown up with time.
The fridge is the factor here?
Yes, it's the solubility of gases in liquids increases with a drop in temperature. It's the cold fridge that makes it more soluble. So if you try it without the spoon, it'll still be fizzy the next day.
And if you leave a bottle out of the fridge but was opened at the same time, that won't be fizzy the next day on anything like the same level as the one in there. Where's the myth come from? Do you know?
The temperature. Sorry?
Do you know where the myth has come from?
No, James, I can't, but we've had it before, I think, and I study this several times a week as it happens, and the answer's always the same.
Very nicely done. Professor, what are you doing in Moscow, mate? You're all right, aren't you?
No, I've done a series of science shows in Siberia, and we've just come over to Moscow to do another series of them. I'm back again next week, so it's normal service.
You're not going to defect to a Russian Mystery Hour or anything like that?
Absolutely not. In fact, I pushed the science show back for an hour so I could do this. So
we love you, mate. We really do. Thank you, Professor Hall. It's coming up to 29 minutes after 12, and a round of applause for Professor Hall. And this week, Mystery Hour is meeting Cash for Questions head-on. 0345 606 0973 is the number to call if you want to donate, or, of course, depending on what button you press when you get that menu, if you want to come on to Mystery Hour. Remember, you have to pledge a sum, a small sum, or as big as you want, actually. I think 25 quid, from 5 quid to 25 quid so far, so something for almost everyone. Feel free to go all in, though. You can pledge a grand if you want to get your question on the board. 0345 606 0973, either way, is the number that you need. And remember, if you are ringing up to donate, you run the very real risk of having a genuine, bona fide, 100% copper-bottomed LBC presenter answering the phone in the telethon office when you hit those numbers. After 1 o'clock today, yeah, it could even be me. It's coming up to 12:30. You're listening to Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. It's 12:34. I can just see from my text inbox that one or two of you have texted the word noise to my text number. It's a different number today to donate to Global's Make Some Noise. You need to text the word noise, N-O-I-S-E, to 70070, not to my usual text number, 70070, and then £5 will wing its way to the Global Make Some Noise coffers and be distributed very, very swiftly among all of the charities that you've heard so much about today. Of course, if you're in the game on a rather bigger scale, the auction is underway now. There's only about 15 minutes left on this. 15 minutes left for you to bid for a truly, truly stunning holiday in Washington, D.C. Let me just run you through what you get. There's two of you, right? So you'll both fly direct to Washington, D.C. with British Airways in the World Traveller cabin. You'll spend four nights at the Lowe's Madison Hotel, right in the middle of downtown D.C. That is the sort of cradle of power of the free world in many ways. It's so close to the White House, you could probably hear Barack Obama flush the lavatory. Beautiful room, all the amenities you'd expect. Embassy Row, the White House, and the Mall monuments just around the corner. So some beautiful landmarks, iconic attractions for you to visit. And then, of course, you can go for a tour, because Bike and Roll DC will be offering both of you either a Segway or a bike tour of the most famous monuments. Personally, I'd choose the Segway, just for novelty value. You know that idiot-proof vehicle that George W. Bush managed to fall off? Yeah, one of those. There's loads of them in America. They haven't quite caught on here, but they're really, really cool. You look like sort of weird futuristic Blade Runner extras making your way through the cityscape. That's all included as well. So you get the holiday, you get the flight, well, you get the hotel, you get the flights, you get a trip around Washington, D.C., and of course you're right on the ground for loads and loads of visits to some amazing places. And you can get it for just gone up to £2,300. So if you bid £2,350 in the coming 14 minutes and 22 seconds, it will be yours. That's still a bargain. That's still less than you'd pay for it, I reckon, isn't it, in real terms? So you're still getting a bargain. Frankly, it should go for more than it's worth, so that not only do you get the holiday, you get the warm glow of genuine philanthropy as well. There's a word of warning for you there. So pile over to lbc.co.uk and have a look at that. And get a bid in. Get a bid in now, please. Let's carry on with Mystery Hour. Dan is in Bromley. Dan, how much would you like to pledge to make some noise?
Well, I have to tell you, I had a figure of a £10 in my head, but I just spoke to my son and explained what I was doing, and he heard Sadie's story, and he's asked me to put his fiver pocket money in as well, so we're going to say £15.
What's your little boy's name, Dan?
His name's Joe, he's 12.
Fair play, Joe. I just said little boy, and I thought you might be working with him, and you'll say he's 28. He's 28, James, but he still gets pocket money. 12-year-old Joe putting his £5. God, you can hear that's got me right in the throat, that has. You better tell me what your tell me what your question is, quickly.
I've been working away a lot recently, all over the south of England, and I keep seeing different names appearing in place names for the same word. So I've rounded it down to one, because there's too many, but Regis. I keep seeing Regis, like Lyme Regis, Bogner Regis, Helton Regis, and I'm just wondering what Regis means.
I know this.
What?
Get in. Okay. Two for two. Are they all by the seaside?
No. Well, I thought that at first. Lyme Regis and Bogner Regis is, but there's one near Luton, which is Helton Regis.
Is it a spa? Is it a spa of some sort? Is it a destination? Why would one go there?
That's why I'm asking, mate.
Well, it is like the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea, but old-fashioned. So Regis refers to the monarch. So Bognor Regis, right. Lyme Regis, George III, I think, popularised them as holiday destinations. So he allowed them to call themselves Regis as a mark of kingly affection, kingly respect. So it's like Kensington can call itself the Royal Borough, and Bognor can call itself Bognor Regis because George III liked it. I don't know whether he was responsible for all the Regises, but it's a gift from the monarch to a town that he or she liked.
Well, there you go. I can't see Luton being involved in that, but yeah.
No, Luton I'm struggling with, which is why I was trying to work out whether it was a spa or whether it had some association with a famous figure or someone like that, but I don't know. Definitely Regis refers to the king. In fact, Dan, Joe will like this. Do you know what George III's last words were?
Go on.
Bugger Bognor. It's 12:38. Round of applause for me, please. And give our best to Joe, Dan. You should be proud of that, boy. That's a lovely thing that he's just done. 0345 606 0973 is the number to call if you want to get involved in... Oh, we seem to have a bit of a steward's inquiry coming up on that, Laura, on that honey question. That's coming up next after Bill in Holloway. Question or answer, Bill?
Answer.
Carry on.
Good afternoon, James.
Good afternoon, Bill.
The spider, it allows the web, when it spins it out, it allows the wind to carry the web to the article that it wants to go to. It's as simple as that. I've seen it on a nature programme, and I've also read about it.
So it spins a line, waits for the wind to blow the line, which is very sticky, to the other side, and then it sort of fills its boots with webbing.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it's on the end of the line. That's how it picks up the wind.
No, he's not on the end of the line.
Yeah, he is.
No, he spins it and it's...
No, he ties it to one end and then he dangles down.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And then otherwise the wind's never going to catch it. So he's dangling on the end of it like a pendulum. He is, in fact, a spider pendulum. And the wind blows a spider pendulum and it grabs another bit and that's where he starts webbing from.
Well, the way I saw it was that it just let the actual web...
Well, that's never going to... No, no, that's never going to work. What about all the times you've seen a spider dangling from a single strand, waiting to be blown to the next destination?
Well, I know the way I saw it was the way I saw it.
You know? I don't know. Where were you? What were you watching?
One of those nature programmes with Attenborough.
Oh, you're playing the Attenborough card, are you, Bill?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
yeah.
That's quite... Yeah, I'm on thin ice now then, aren't I, if I come back with my own sort of meanderings. But just it wouldn't work if there wasn't any ballast on the end of the original line, would it?
Well, I don't know about ballast. All I know is they allow the wind to...
Should we split it down the middle?
We could do it if
you
want.
Good man. Yeah, let's have half each.
Yeah. Okay, then.
Thank you, Bill. Good man. Okay. Lawrence is in Stanmore. Lawrence, what's on your mind?
You messed up with the honey. I mean,
yeah. All right. Can we get?
Hey,
can we start with the vocabulary here, Lawrence? Please. Yes. Messed up. I made an unwitting error. Messed up is it's violent and aggressive before we've even started, Lawrence.
Oh, I don't want to be aggressive.
Nor do I, mate. Seriously, I'm having a day off now. What have you got for me? What's the correct answer?
Well, the honey is a supersaturated solution of sugar and water.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, as you keep on using it and sticking the knife in and introducing impurities in the honey, the sugar then crystallises out.
No. That's what? Not it. That's not it. It was runny honey. He wasn't sticking the knife in. It was in a squeezy tube.
Hold on. Well, what's he going to do with it? He puts it on the knife and he spreads
it's
it
in
on
a squeezy
the
tube, mate.
What?
It's in a squeezy tube, clever
no,
clogs.
It wasn't in a tube. No, it was.
It was obviously
no, it
in a
it
squeezy
in a
tube.
I know him. He's a good friend of mine.
What?
No.
Apparently, he did actually say the word jar.
No, well, he didn't. No, but it is. This is. I'm telling you what the truth is. You know, this is how it works. Right?
Okay.
And then, if he wants to return the honey to its original state. If he stands it in some hot water or sticks it in the microwave for about 20 seconds, it heats up, the sugar then redissolves in the water, and you get the runny honey again.
Yeah, I know you're right, but I just am a little unclear on why it only happens right at the end of the jar.
Well, because it takes time to do, you see. It doesn't happen immediately. It takes time. And as he keeps on putting it on the bread and introducing crumbs and bits of butter...
But why does that make it more likely that the sugar will crystallise?
Well, because it needs something to crystallise out, you see.
Oh, he's got
it
every angle covered,
this man. It needs something to precipitate out.
Yeah.
I mean, you keep it in the jar for 10 years, maybe, right? If there's no impurities in it, it will stay supersaturated.
Very nicely done. So I wasn't even a little bit right then.
No, not really.
So messed up was probably a fair description.
Well, I think it was. Yeah. I think I was being kind, actually.
No, you know what? On reflection, 2020 hindsight, I think you were being positively gracious, Lawrence.
I was, wasn't I, really?
Yes. Yeah. Qualifications?
Well, about 55 years ago, I took the GCE and I got it in physics and one in chemistry and one in math. I got 5 GCs when I was about 55 years old.
But where does your understanding of honey come into that, Lawrence?
Well, because it was also talking about, when they talk about solutions in water, supersaturated.
Have you used the phrase supersaturated?
Sodium hydroxide, you get a supersaturated And it's the same way that rain precipitates out of a supersaturated solution of the water in the air, you see, as it cools down.
Saturation point is passed, supersaturation
exactly.
is achieved, precipitation follows.
But you still need something for it to crystallise around, you see.
Indeed you do.
You do.
I shall surrender the round of applause that I greedily and, well, frankly, unjustifiably helped myself to, Lawrence, and hand it over to you instead.
Yes, just be more careful next time.
I shall do my best, Lawrence. Okay. But, you know, to err is human. It's 12:43, you're listening to Mystery Hour with James O'Brien on LBC. Julie's in Wisbeach. Julie, question or answer?
Question.
How much would you like to pledge to Globals Make Some Noise?
That'd be £10.
No, well, listen, just give us a fiver if it's a struggle. Seriously, whatever you want, okay? But thank you, because it's every little counts. And what's your question, Julie?
Right, can a blind person from birth dream? And if they can, what do they see?
We've done this. I love this question. I can't
remember. It's something I've always wondered.
I bet you have. So someone who's been blind from birth, I mean, they obviously dream, but quite what they...
What they actually see or what they dream.
Dream of. It'd be whatever they see during the day, I imagine, just sort of coming back at night. But we need to hear from someone who is blind, really, to be 100% clear on it. I'll try and get... We get a lot of questions on Mystery Hour about blindness. It's one of those conditions that we're sort of enduringly fascinated by, isn't it? And I can understand why, trying to imagine what it's like to walk a mile in another man or woman's shoes. Julie, we'll get you... an answer on that. Of course, after the travel news, it will be pretty much close of play for that auction. That astonishingly good value holiday at the moment. Seriously, I might find Mrs. O'Brien, see if she can throw a bid in with 5 minutes to go. It's currently at £2,300. Producer tells me I'm not allowed to bid. I probably would if I was. And in return for that at the moment, it'd be £2,350 to get the winning bid. In return for that, we're looking at 2 flights, both of you, you and whoever it is you want to take, or don't want to take, but have no choice in the matter, flying directly direct to Washington, D.C. with British Airways, staying at the Lowe's Madison Hotel for four nights, top-of-the-range hotel, right in the middle of things in Washington, D.C., just around the corner from the White House. And then, of course, you've got all the other attractions of that amazing city, Georgetown, most obviously, the memorials, the Mall, everything you could possibly dream of. And you can do it on a Segway, should you so desire. Our thanks, of course, to British Airways, the Lowe's Madison, Washington, Bike and Roll and Capital Region, USA. But most of my thanks is reserved for you, because you're about to go to lbc.co.uk and blow that winning bid out of the water. There's about 4 minutes left to do it. And don't forget to send me a postcard. It's 12:49 and you are listening to LBC with just about a minute remaining on that bid, and it's still stuck at £2,300 for you to get four nights in. To get over there now, go over to lbc.co.uk quickly, seriously, because you can still get a bargain by my calculations. It's gone up to £2,450 with 53 seconds to go, and that means that £2,500, a mere £2,500, that could be enough. It's gone up again to £2,550, which means that Kevin has got some competition. There's a bidding war underway with 41 seconds left. It is absolutely time for you to get involved. It could be yours this holiday. £2,550, and it's gone to £2,650. It's gone up again. Will that other bidder have the cojones to come back with another bid? We're looking now at £2,700 to secure this astonishing prize, this mother of all holidays, this dream trip to the greatest seat of power, and it's gone to £2,850 with 18 seconds. Left, just 18 seconds left. That's absolutely all we need. That's all we need now. 2,950. We've got 10 seconds to get over the line. 10 seconds to hit the £3,000 mark. Come on, my friends, we've done it. £3,100, ladies and gentlemen, I give you four nights in Washington, D.C. Thank you very much indeed. Let's get back to Mystery Hour quickly. Sam's in Hanger Lane. Sam, quest, it's gone to 3,300 right at the last minute. Thank you, guys. Seriously, whoever that is, you will not regret it. Did I mention that you have to take me with you? Did I say that during all the build-up to it? No. All right. Sam's at Hanger Lane. Sam, question or answer?
Question, please.
Sam, did you just hear the level of excitement I achieved on the radio?
I was about to say you need to change your job because that was immense.
Flipping heck, mate. It was like the bloody scene in When Harry Met Sally, that, with me playing the role of Meg Ryan, and then I come to you afterwards and you're just giving it a little bit of, all right, question, please, as you were.
Yeah, I know.
So, it's all right.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. What do you mean? That's fine, mate.
I'll crack on.
How much are you going to pledge?
Oh, whoa. £5, sir.
Good man. We're very grateful for that. And what is your question?
Thank you. Basically, my question is, why do we follow the male side, the male lineage, if you like, on our family tree, when the mother is the birth, gives birth, and it should follow the mother's lineage? I think in Judaism, they used to follow the mother's line.
Well, what do you mean by following, it was matrilineal, the Jewish faith?
Well, in the family tree.
We lost him. Because the family tree has both on it, and Spanish names have the mother's name in. We'll get Sam back. Well, I don't know if you can answer the question that you think he was about to ask. Hit the numbers now. 03456060973. Still looking for answers to the applause question, the blind people dreaming question, very sensitively asked by Julie. Sam's back. What do you mean, Sam? I don't quite understand. Because a family tree has mothers and fathers on it.
Yes, it does have mothers and fathers, but if you follow a family tree, it always follows after the fathers, and you can. The mothers seem to sort of disappear after. You know, if you follow your father's line, that's what you would do, wouldn't you? You wouldn't follow your mother's line, would you? And maybe I'm not posing the right...
No, you're not, because the family tree has two branches. It traces back through your mum's side and it traces back through your dad's side.
But what I mean is, why are we holding the name? Why are we keeping the name of the father as opposed to the mother?
Tradition.
From what?
I don't know. We didn't used to. I mean, in other countries, in Spanish countries, the mother's name takes greater prominence than the father's name. They both get represented. But it would just be a way of identifying, so everyone knew that you were my son if you were going out into the world, and because I would have been in the
olden... Why is the male so important?
Well, because he was in the olden days. He was the breadwinner. He was the one doing business with the outside world. He was the recognisable face of the family. So to be carrying the mum's given name, the mum's dad's name, effectively, or the mum's mum's name, would have been meaningless in the marketplace or in the next village along.
Okay.
Yeah?
Maybe.
Well,
maybe.
Hang on a minute. What do you mean, maybe?
Well, it's not definitive, is it?
Of course it's definitive.
It's why?
Why?
It's not
so self-evidently correct.
Possibly.
Also, men care about stuff like that. Women are far too emotionally developed to worry about what name their child takes.
That's not true.
No, well, right. The first bit was. I'm having that. Oh, hang on. Is Mark in Bracknell going to provide an answer to that question or not? Mark, are you going to answer Sam's question or the question you thought Sam was...
I am, a genealogy question about why do we follow the male line?
Well, it's sort of transmogrified now into a question about why we pass on our father's name and not our mother's. But go on, just tell me what you rang in to say.
Well, sorry, I must have misread the question, but I'm sort of a part-time genealogist, and we follow the line, male line, because the surname never really changes, as opposed to the female, where the surname changes through marriage.
Yeah,
and
I'm going to give I'm going to give you a round of applause for that, because you're a nice bloke, and you've played the game. Go on, that's for Mark. But that's not what, because what you've explained is why it's easier to track the father's line, and the answer to that is because the father's name is handed on to the next generation. But Sam's question has transmogrified into why is it the father's name that's handed on to the next generation. But frankly, Sam, I've answered that, and if you're not happy with that answer, that, my friend, is your problem.
Fair enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Round of applause for me. Qualifications genius. 0345 6060973 is the number to call if you want to squeeze in an answer to any questions still on the board. There may still be time, in fact, to get a question of your own. I doubt it, frankly. Alan's in Bromley. Alan, question or answer?
Please answer.
Come on, then.
The clapping one.
Yeah.
In the olden days, they used to pat the actors or et cetera on the back on their way out, which made the clapping sound. But instead, because not everyone could get to the actor to do it, people started clapping their hands instead, and apparently it now makes the loudest noise a human can make just by, you know, like clapping together, the loudest sound you can make to show appreciation.
Nah, I'm not having that. You could shout.
Well,
oi, actor, nice one. Right. Nice one. Great performance. See you next week. You don't have to.
Hang on.
We've got some competition. Barry's in Norwood. Barry, what do you reckon?
I'm agree. That's baloney. That's nothing to do with that.
Barry, wait there. Alan, he called that baloney.
Yeah. Well, I listened to Radio 2, and he was on there the other day.
That was your first mistake, Alan. Let's go to Barry. He doesn't listen to rubbish like that. What answer have you got for us, Barry?
Evolutionary, man. Of course. Monkeys clap as well, don't they? They always do. They clap and they laugh in exactly the same way. Yeah, exactly. And unless there are any monkey actors out there, and they're all tapping them on the back, I think it's got to be evolutionary.
I would have thought you're right. So we followed it right from our days in the trees, our days as apes. Yeah. Hang on, Alan got it off Radio 2. I mean, you know, he could be right.
One or the other. Just look, it's definitely evolutionary. It can't be clapping on the back, because who did monkeys copy? Unless they were copying us.
And
I don't think that was the case.
Why would it work in cultures even where there hasn't, I don't know, tradition? I feel bad now, because we've sort of dissed Alan for listening to rubbish radio.
He should listen to Mystery Hour.
I know he should, but he probably does. He probably just goes for a little tour around the dial elsewhere in the day. Let's give Barry his round of applause, because I'm pretty sure you're right. And I'll ask Alan, how come monkeys clap?
I don't know, they follow. But the only reason I'm going to justify myself...
Barry, get back in your box, mate.
I've got to justify myself here. What? The only reason I listen to Radio 2 is that I'm out of the range of LBC by the time that programme comes on at night, when I'm driving home. Otherwise, if you had more coverage, I'd listen.
Right, that's pretty sure. I mean, we're all over the country on DAB Digital, of course, but on your FM radio, that counts as a valid excuse. Give Alan a round of applause as well, because we unfairly maligned his listening habits there. He only listens to the other lot because he has no choice. Jay has just called in at the last minute with what I hope is an answer. Jay, what's your answer?
It's the answer to the blind question. Is that dreaming when you're blind?
Oh, yes.
And I heard from a friend that apparently they have feelings instead of pictures. They have touch and sound and senses.
So they would just have echoes like we do of whatever their sensory experiences were during their waking hours.
That's right, yeah.
I like that. Your qualifications are, you just heard it?
No, yeah, just a conversation with a friend.
Is your friend blind, with respect?
No. I don't know where they knew that information from.
I'm sorry, mate, that's just not going to get over. I think you're probably right, but the qualifications are absolutely pathetic. I can't possibly give applause for that. Simon's in Cannock. Watershed question. Quick answer, please, Simon. We're short of time.
Okay, the watershed, I learned at GCSE, in geography, is where the water hits a cliff or a mountain half of it falls one way, half of it falls the other, filling up different waters. That's called the watershed and applies because one side of the watershed, you sort of got guided content, and the other side is adult content.
I'm not having that, mate.
No, it's true.
No, well, even if it is. Oh, you just sound... Well, qualifications?
Qualifications, GCSE.
No, sorry. No, I think that's quite nice, actually, to have a bit of strictness reintroduced to mystery hour at the end with the last two attempted answers. That's it from me for another day. Thank you for all your help with Global's Make Some Noise. It will be continuing throughout the afternoon. I'm James O'Brien, and here's Julia Hartley-Brewer.
Thank you very much.